We've been considering what it means to live a good life. And we've looked at different aspects from God's Word about what that means to live a good life. This morning's lesson will continue with that theme and in a slightly different way. This morning's lesson will begin with a couple of illustrations. Most of us remember either from experiencing it or reading about it in history books, about the sign that President Truman often had on his desk, "The buck stops here." The saying, though, is said to have originated a long time before him. Some reference books say that it started in the Old West in card games. Men would be sitting around playing cards, and they had a marker as to whose turn it was to deal the cards. And often it was a buck-handled knife. And so that knife would be the marker. And so if it was your turn, you had that knife, that buck-handled knife there in front of you. And if you chose not to deal the cards, you could pass it to the next person. And that was passing the buck. And so those people who chose not to take that responsibility of dealing the cards could pass that to the next person. And so over time, at least some of the reference books say, over time that phrase, passing the buck, came to mean not accepting responsibility. And in particular, of course, it had to do with not accepting responsibility for wrong choices. And so people would pass the buck if they didn't want to accept responsibility for something they've done. They could pass the buck, and they would try and do that. Well, it wasn't my fault, it was his fault. It wasn't my fault, it was because of this. It wasn't my fault because of that. And so that's where the idea, the phrase, passing the buck, came from. And while the phrase is very well known in our society, passing the buck, the idea of accepting responsibility is certainly not a bedrock of our culture anymore. I think it was at one time, but certainly not nowadays. You see that on TV all the time, or with politicians, you know, or actors or whoever, they do something wrong. It was the pressure they were under. Or it was bad advice. Or it was this, or it was that. And you see that constantly in our society, especially with well-known people. You know, it's never their fault. Professional players of different kinds, professional sports players, when they are caught doing something, well, it's not their fault. Something happened that caused them to do it, and so it wasn't their responsibility. And so they often will pass the buck on to somebody else. It wasn't my fault. And you can just continue to find example after example after example of that. And it's refreshing when you actually find some public figure, whether it's a sports figure, a politician, an actor, whoever, that actually does accept responsibility for something they've done wrong. It's rare, but it does happen. But you know, that is a very, very old thing to do. We go all the way back to the Garden of Eden, right? We see that. There are only two people in the world. Only two, Adam and Eve. They both made wrong choices. But lo and behold, it wasn't their fault. Adam made a wrong choice. He knew better. He knew not to take of that fruit of that tree and eat of it. He knew. God had told him specifically not to do it. And so when God called him on the carpet about it, what did he do? He said, "Well, this wife you gave me, she made me eat it." Now remember, there was only two people in the world. So if he was going to blame it on another person, it had to be her. There wasn't any other choices there. So then it comes to Eve's turn. God calls her on the carpet about it. Well, Adam's already accused her, so it'd be kind of tough to turn the tables around on him. So she says, I know what I'm going to do. God, that's this serpent is his fault. Serpent's fault. Deceived me. I was too naive. Wasn't my fault. So I'll pass the buck on to the serpent. That goes back a long ways. The idea of passing the buck and not accepting responsibility. Basically, Adam and Eve were saying, it wasn't my fault. And of course, God accepted that excuse. Not quite. Adam blamed Eve. Eve blamed the serpent. God blamed them both. He didn't let them off the hook at all. Not for the slightest amount of time did he let them off the hook. He made them accept responsibility for what they did. They knew what they had done was wrong, and so he made them accept responsibility in a way they didn't want to accept, but it happened. And you know, you look at so many examples, and we'll look at some, how people have done that through time. Let's look at another one. Early on, Aaron, Exodus chapter 32. These are all very familiar examples, but they do illustrate this principle of it wasn't my fault. In Exodus 32, beginning in verse 21, the background to this, of course, is Moses had gone up onto Mount Sinai to receive the Ten Commandments. While he was gone, he basically left Aaron in charge. Well, what happened was the people decided to make a golden calf to worship. They thought Moses was taking too long. So they make this golden calf. And so that's the background to the conversation that's ready to take place. Exodus 32, verse 21, Moses and Aaron have a conversation. Moses says to Aaron, what did this people do to you that you brought so great a sin upon them? They knew they were not to make a golden calf to worship. So Aaron said, do not let the anger of my Lord become hot. What's he saying? Hey, don't get angry at me. Right? That's how we would put it today. Don't get angry at me. Don't let God get angry at me. Why? You know the people that they are set on evil. You know these people that I have to deal with every day. You know what kind of people they are. You left me in charge, but you left me in charge of a bunch of evil people. Bunch of wicked people. And so it's their fault. Moses had left Aaron in charge. It was his responsibility. But Aaron didn't accept responsibility. And so what did he do? Well, he's got to shift the blame to somebody. So he shifts it to the people. And how does he do that? He says, well, these people you left me with, all they think about is evil. All they think about is wicked things. So it's really their fault. They made the golden calf. So don't get angry at me. Get angry at them. Well, of course, Moses and God got angry at all of them because they knew better. They knew better. We go up in time a little bit. 1 Samuel chapter 15. We see some more buck passing going on. 1 Samuel 15. The background to this is God had commanded Saul to completely destroy the Amalekites. All the people, all the animals, everything. Completely destroy them. That was a very clear command. There wasn't any way to misunderstand that. Well, of course, Saul doesn't follow those instructions. He kept back some of the best of the sheep and some of the best of the lambs. It didn't kill all the people. Well, Samuel, the prophet, calls Saul on the carpet about it. He wants to know why God's commands weren't followed to the letter. So in 1 Samuel 15, beginning in verse 20, 1 Samuel 15, beginning in verse 20. And Saul said to Samuel, but I have obeyed the voice of the Lord. See to what Saul says? Hey, I did exactly what you told me to do. And gone on the mission on which the Lord sent me and brought back Agag, king of Amalek. I have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took the took of the plunder, sheep and oxen, the best of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice to the Lord your God in Gilgal. It says, now I did what you said, which was a lie. He didn't. He wasn't supposed to let the king live, but he did. So first of all, he lied straight to Samuel. And then second of all, he says, it wasn't really me that took all those things. It was the people. It was their fault. I didn't have anything to do with it. He was the leader of the people. And so what he did was, I'm going to pass the buck to the people. It wasn't really my fault. The people did it. Blame them. And so he basically sinned in two ways. He lied, and then he didn't accept responsibility. It was his responsibility, and he wouldn't take it. And he ended up certainly not living a very good life. It was the people's fault. Well, we go all the way up in the New Testament. We find a guy named Pilate. Matthew chapter 27. Again, a very familiar account. Remember from the time when we were little. Pilate, as you remember, was in quite a struggle as to what to do. He knew Jesus was innocent. He knew that by Roman law, which he was supposed to follow, he was to acquit Jesus and let him go free. He knew that was the thing he was supposed to do. The other side of it, and why he was in such a quandary, was he was afraid of what the people would do, because the people wanted Jesus crucified. And so he's going, and you can just almost see him in his mind trying to think, how am I going to get out of this? How am I going to get out of this? If I let Jesus go, the people are going to be furious at me. If I have Jesus killed, the Roman government will be after me. This is a no-win situation for me. I don't know what to do. And so he says, aha, I know what I'll do. I'll pass the buck. That's what I'll do. I'll say, hey, it's not my responsibility what happens. Notice what happens, what he says in Matthew 27, verse 24. When Pilate saw that he could not prevail at all, somebody was going to be mad at him. Somebody was going to be angry at him. Something bad was going to happen. But rather that a tumult was rising, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. You see to it. He says, I'm not going to take responsibility for anything. I'm not going to take responsibility for not doing my job for the Roman government. I'm not going to take responsibility for seeing that the right thing is done. I'm just going to wash my hands of it. Says, I'm not going to take responsibility for anything. It didn't work. But that's what he said I was going to do. It's not my fault. Whatever happens to this guy, it is not my fault. Of course it was. Washing his hands in water had no power at all. There was nothing to that. He just didn't want to take responsibility. And he said, you know, I'm not going to take it. It's like he says, so there. So what does this all have to do with us and living a good life? This is what it's about. If we're going to have a good life, and by that I mean a life that God desires and approves of, then we need to make sure we take responsibility for all of our actions. And maybe you're thinking, well, I always do. Well, that's good. But think about some of these statements to see if you've ever made them at any time in your life. I know I have a problem with my temper, but I got it from my dad. Uh-oh. I know I'm getting too personal now. Sorry about that. You ever made that? Well, that's what you're doing. You're not accepting responsibility for your own choices. Your dad doesn't have anything to do with your temper. Or you could put in anything there instead of temper. You could put anything in there you want. Gossiping, using bad language. Hey, it's not my fault that I use bad language. I got that from my mom. No, you didn't. See, that's passing the buck. That's saying it's not my fault. I'm not responsible for my choices. That's in essence what you're saying. Or what about this? I know I should be more faithful, but my wife, my children, my job, my whatever, makes it too difficult. Has that ever came out of your mouth? I know I should be more faithful, but my wife, my husband, my children, make it too hard. Or what about this? My mind, my thoughts aren't what they should be, but no wonder considering the world in which we live. So you blame it on society. Well, the society is evil. Society is immoral. Society is unethical. Society is dishonest. So that gives me a right to be. That gives me a right to be influenced by an immoral culture. See, that's passing the buck. That's saying, I'm not going to take responsibility for that. It's really not my fault. Or, life is just so busy these days. My job or whatever, so demanding that I just don't have time for the Lord. That's passing the buck. That's saying, it's not my responsibility to be faithful. It's not my responsibility to serve and to worship. It's not my responsibility. You know, I've got other things. See, all of that's passing the buck. And why do people do that? Why did Adam and Eve do that? Why would anybody ever pass the buck or not accept responsibilities? I think there's only one reason for that. Is they want to avoid negative consequences. Isn't that the reason everybody would do that? Is they want to avoid negative consequences. Because they know by saying, yes, I know it's my fault and I accept responsibility, saying that usually brings with it negative consequences, doesn't it? So the idea is, well, if I say it's not my fault, or if I can pass the buck, then I avoid negative consequences. Or that's what we think, anyway, will happen. But let's think about what God says about that. First of all, let's turn to 1 John chapter 1. What happens if we refuse to accept responsibility for our actions? 1 John chapter 1, beginning in verse 6. I think this is an excellent text for what that means. 1 John chapter 1, verse 6 says, if we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we've not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. If we say when we do something wrong, it's not my fault, we're basically saying Jesus is a liar. Because Jesus says that we sin. But if we don't admit that we sin and say it's not my fault, then what we're saying is, Jesus, you're a liar. That's what John says there. John says we won't be forgiven unless we take responsibility. Did you get that from that text? That's what he says. We will not be forgiven, which means we'll be lost, spend eternity in hell if we don't take responsibility. That's what those verses teach us. We have to be willing to confess. Not that made-up confession, if I've done something wrong, that means nothing. When people say, well, if I've done something wrong, forgive me, that's not a confession. That's not accepting responsibility. Hopefully we'll never say that. That's just wrong. It's I have done something wrong. And I accept responsibility for it. I accept the bad consequences of it. And I'm not going to blame someone else. if I don't have that right attitude of accepting responsibility, it says here, I will not be forgiven. And I will not have Jesus' blood cleanse me from those sins. That's serious enough right there for making sure we accept responsibility. But think about the various ones in the Bible that when they accepted responsibility, they grew from it. Think about Peter and Paul. They both took responsibility for their evil actions. Peter denying Christ three times. But because he took responsibility for it, he became a stronger person. Same way with Paul. They both grew by taking responsibility. We'll remain immature Christians if we do not take responsibility for our mistakes. But if we do take responsibility and don't pass the buck, then we can grow stronger from it. And again, we see that throughout the Bible. So many different examples. Another reason for taking responsibility is when we confess that something we've done is wrong, when we accept responsibility for it, then we're much less likely to do it again. But if we think when we do something wrong, well, it's somebody else's fault, then doing it again won't be a big deal because the same thing will come up. It's not my fault. We do it again. It's not my fault. Not my responsibility. But by taking responsibility for what we do that's wrong, then we will think twice about doing it again. And so it will help us to not sin again. Again, that's the idea of growing stronger. So accepting responsibility for our actions, not passing the buck, not saying it's not my fault, will help us to grow, be stronger, be more mature Christians. This idea of confessing goes all the way back to the Old Testament. Proverbs chapter 28 is a wonderful, wonderful verse about this. Proverbs 28, verse 13, says this about our confessing. Proverbs 28, verse 13. Says, he who covers his sins will not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy. See, you confess them. You admit, yes, it was my fault. Wasn't anybody else's fault? Wasn't my spouse's fault, my kid's fault, my boss's fault, society's fault, TV's fault? It was nobody's fault but my own. If I do that, it says what? I will be given mercy. But those people who do not take responsibility, who try and pass the buck, who say it's not my fault, will not obtain mercy. It's that clear. You know, the Bible repeatedly says that each of us will stand as individuals before the judgment seat of Christ. I won't stand as my family as a unit before the judgment seat of Christ. We won't be judged as a family before the judgment seat of Christ. I will be there by myself to be judged for my wrongs, not someone else's. So I need to learn in this life to accept responsibility for the things I do that are wrong and not try to blame other people. Not say it wasn't my fault, not try and pass the buck, because on judgment seat, there's no, or before the judgment throne, there's no passing the buck. There's no saying it's someone else's fault. There's no saying, well, I lived in an immoral society. There's no saying, look at what I had to put up with. There'll be none of that then, because we all have to answer for what we have done. So if we want to live a good life, it's going to be a life where we accept responsibility for what we do. We confess those wrongs and we ask to be forgiven. The initial step in becoming a Christian is realizing that we have become sinners and that we must do something about that. We have our sins washed away in baptism. But then as 1 John 1 says, we have to realize and take responsibility for sins we commit after becoming a Christian. And we have to confess them and ask to be forgiven. And that's the only way we can really live a good life in this world is by taking responsibility. And if you desire this morning to take responsibility for your actions, and you desire to be baptized or to confess wrong, we encourage you to come as David leads us in this next song.